It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
The shitty thing is, now I can't eat my supper. It just arrived. Yeah, you're looking at me. No, I'm waiting in line to go see the 4:15 show. I guess it'll be tomorrow's 4:15 show for Quantum of Solace.
Oh, Quantum of Solace. Sure.
So that's what. Yeah. No, I'm not going to see Eagle Eye. Fuck right off. The Shia LaBeouf vehicle Eagle Eye. No, I'm good. I'm just gonna go see Quantum of Solace. Okay. So you're on a cell phone.
I am, yeah.
We're just slowly dropping our technical quality. At a certain point, I assume I'm going to be recording the entire thing on like a flip phone, and you're going to be in my yard an appropriate distance away, and we're just going to like yell back and forth.
Yeah.
I feel like how we're going to end up. But
yeah, I'm surprised we haven't reached that already.
Do you want to explain to the folks at home why you're on your cell phone?
Well, because the laptop I was using is dead. The hard drive's dead, so we have to replace it. It's probably, we have ordered the parts and whatever, and my wife, who's very handy, has came to significance today when she sort of rigged this thing that my cell phone is
cradled. You showed me pictures. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, but anyway, she's pretty handy, so she wants to fix the laptop. So, and she's, I mean, so far everything in our house that she's tried to fix, the dishwasher, the washing machine, you know, whatever she wants to fix, she's been successful fixing it. So I mean, unless there's
mine
something
too.
Else wrong,
it's awesome.
Unless there's something else wrong with the laptop besides the hard drive, she should be able to fix it, and I might be using it again next Thursday, but cool. If I can't, I'll just use my phone, I guess.
Yeah, I am growing less concerned about this as we go here. First off, your video quality 100% better than this laptop.
Well,
I mean, I know I've got the weird background, but even just looking at me, I am not nearly as clear as you are. Which makes sense because cameras on phones frequently are really good.
Well, the camera I use, of course, isn't on the laptop. The camera I use is an external camera, and it's old, and it's not.
Yeah,
very
I would say this is probably better than that. And I don't know, listeners, you'll have to tell me at home. Your sound quality may be as good. It's perfectly functional. Like if we had to do it this way forever, I think we'd be okay.
I don't know which microphone I'm currently using, if it's the microphones from the phone or if it's the microphone here. There's a microphone right here.
It's that one.
The one I'm right next to my face?
Yes.
Well, it works pretty well, I guess. So.
Yeah, no, it's nice. It's okay. Better. When we tested it earlier, you weren't using that, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, this is better quality.
Very good.
We had a whole thing where he was on there three times and we were trying to use another computer and it was hilarious because he could hear me and see me and I could neither hear nor see him. So I'm just talking to empty air and then words are coming back to me in chat. It was really creepy. And then he started pretending to be Eliza from the old Macintosh and that got extra creepy.
Right. Were you at all impressed with how well I did impersonating?
No, I was scared. And then I was like, of course. Because I would not remotely be surprised if Eliza was just developed by transcribing conversations with people have had with you.
Yeah, it's actually not that hard to pretend you're a bot, really. I'm surprised. I mean, I don't know why anyone would ever do it.
I believe it is not hard for you to pretend you are a bot.
I've often been accused of being a bot.
William, okay, confession time. Have you failed the Turing test?
I don't know if I've ever taken it.
I think you should. You might learn a lot about yourself. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the podcast that will not die. Like, clearly the universe is trying to make it happen, and we won't let it. So it's still going. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 400.
Fuck you. Fuck you so hard.
Oh, no. You just told
me. Oh, my
me.
God. I will murder you in your sleep.
Is it in the 80s?
No!
Is it in the 70s?
Oh, my God. Are you going to take off your shoes and count? Yes, 478.
478.
Oh, my
because
God.
Because last time was 77, and that's your birthday. We already established.
You're such dead weight. Oh, my God. Oh, thank goodness. We're already recording, by the way. Don't do anything really inappropriate. We're already recording.
Oh, man.
But thank God you're here, because William just cleverly demonstrated how much we need you here. He didn't remember what number episode it was, so I told him. And then 3 minutes later, on air, he completely forgot.
I forgot.
Just well, instantly. I don't know what episode number it is either.
Yes, but I didn't tell you 3 minutes earlier. And also, it's his fucking job.
My job.
He has one fucking job.
One job.
But I'm just saying, how would me being here have like, why does this demonstrate that you need me?
William is dead weight. You are entertaining, is what I'm saying. William is the goddamn albatross of this podcast. And I need help. By the way, tell us who you are, because nobody's ever actually seen you on the podcast.
That's not true, I don't think.
Did they see you on the video for the 100th?
Maybe.
Because we weren't, otherwise there is no video, except the YouTube ones that you haven't been on.
Right, but I was definitely there at the 100th, I just don't remember.
That was, I'll do the math for those of you who can't handle it, William, 378 episodes ago. So maybe introduce yourself again, just in case.
That was also, I believe, the last time all three of us have been on the podcast at the same time.
Really?
Well, yeah.
I thought we did one since then.
Oh, did we?
I don't know. Are you going to introduce yourself, lady?
I am the woman that had the lack of foresight to marry the man you see at a casino.
No. I'm at the movie theater. I'm holding out. It's too late now. I'm going to get a ticket for tomorrow's 4:15 Quantum of Solace. Do you want me to get two?
Well, let's go at 10. I mean, not like we're
doing
anything.
That's true. If we missed it, we'll do it at 10 in the morning. Yes. Somebody accused me of waiting to see Eagle Eye in a meeting earlier, and I hate them forever. I'm punchy tonight. Oof. All right.
I'm much worse than an albatross, Tony, because I'm alive.
We literally just before you showed up discussed the possibility that William would fail the Turing test.
So, but wait, I want to know which, on the dead weight scale, Addy or William, who's
people
lowest?
Fucking love cats. Addy blows away. Now, if it's strictly audio, Addy not person loves William, and she set up this lovely display. But no, earlier, because you don't know, when we were practicing the Zoom earlier in the day, we got to where William could see and hear me, but I could neither see nor hear him. So I would say things and he would type in chat. And then he started fucking with me by pretending he was Eliza from the old Max. And he was like really good at it. It was creepy. But yes, yeah. This is Trish, my wife, also known as the producer. We brought her in because, well, at first we weren't sure we were going to get William at all. And Trish is like, oh, I'll help you out. And we were like, that's cool. And then we got William and we're like, let's still include Trish. So we did.
Yeah. So actually, it was really funny because I remember you were telling me William had technical problems and I was like poking you. And finally, you're like, what? And I'm like, I've been on the podcast before. And you're like, yeah, I know. And you like just kept going.
Yeah, no.
It took missed a while it to entirely. Clue in that I was
She's
saying.
Finally like, I could do it. And I was like, oh, yeah, you could. Because like if his didn't work, the plan was to have like a 5-minute podcast in which it's just me. And I call William on the phone. And that's it. And then we're done. So it was a placeholder, really, just to let you know we hadn't died. And then Trish is like, I've been on the podcast. I'm like, yeah, baby. Good. You were great. It was wonderful. And then she's like, I could do it now. And I was like, oh. But you do often have plans Thursday night. And you still do, but they will be later. So
yes.
You are kindly helping us out from our bedroom.
Ooh, this is where the magic happens. Wow, is it sad that we both started doing the same dance?
Yeah. That's what it's like in there. That's the magic right there. We just sit next to each other in bed and just do this.
Should I go somewhere else? I mean, what?
No, do it with us. Do it with us. Do it.
I think you're making
Look me in the eyes and wiggle your neck.
No, don't think that's going to happen.
Lots
of books here. I suppose I could just read.
Ooh, that is some hooker.
What?
Were you not setting me up for that exact joke?
No.
It was a total accident that I pulled it off screen right as William looked back up.
Yeah. So hold that up again.
So he saw nothing.
hold this up. So Trish just recently bought some new things to hold our silverware on the drying rack, and they apparently come with the hooks. And you remember when we got the drying rack and the ad said like 2 cases of this, blah, blah, blah. And then some hookers.
Like instead of, you know, a number
or hooks,
that too.
It said yes. Some hookers. And so,
and for the record, I had to buy these hookers separately.
Okay. So this has been a joke, and especially because I feel like we did talk about something like there's 2 ways to look at it. It's either some hookers we couldn't be bothered to count. It's just some hookers. Or like we really want to emphasize they're of good quality. So it's like Charlotte's Web with some pig. You know, it's like some hookers. And so she held that up and I was like, that's some hooker. And it is. It's very nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that arrived at the same time dinner did. Did you eat your dinner yet? I have not. I just got everything settled, and William was here super early. But that'll work well.
Somebody
then
told
we'll
me
done.
We were starting at 5:30.
Yeah,
and
no.
Then I could hear you talking, so yeah. I was like, "Oh crap, I
no,
better
he was,
get on."
He was way early. But
well, I just wanted to make sure everything was working.
No, I appreciate that, and I always like early because I'm just sitting around waiting. Like, and that's what would have happened. I got on, and had you been any later, it just would have been me sitting here waiting.
Oh.
For those of you who have just joined us for the first time, I don't even know what to say. Here's how this works. We have a hat. It is magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And folks, cool people, awesome people. Every once in a while, my wife, I think, anonymously, but mostly just people, write in to that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. With little notes, comments, topics, questions, things like that. The hat magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards that manifest physically within the hat itself with the information written on them. And then we, by which I mean me and William, I guess now Trish for a little bit, reach into the hat, draw them out at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored. Do that for about an hour. That's the whole show except the parts that aren't, which is honestly most of it. So that's where we are.
Yep.
This is the thing. So with the Rona happening, I'm in a lot more meetings online and I have my camera on more. I look at myself a lot more often. It's very, at first it was very disconcerting. I'm starting to get comforted with it, but I really have to trim this beard up this weekend. It's getting a little out of control.
So yesterday the Iowa governor said that by Friday, which is tomorrow, massage and gyms and salons are all going to be able to open with restrictions if they want to, or yes, if they can. So are you planning to do any of those things?
I have not. Well, I'm not doing the gym for so many reasons, not the least of which is I believe that the restriction is like one at a time by appointment or something. So screw that. I have not heard anything from my massage therapist. I may text her next week. Off the top of my head, well, A, she may not want to yet, because we sure as hell don't want to go anywhere yet. But also, she rents a place in office in a wellness center. And if the wellness center is not choosing to reopen, she may not be able to. I would think I would have heard from her, but yeah, I'll probably check in on her to see what's going on. If so she is doing it,
if we wanted to get our haircut.
We were asked if we wanted to get our haircut, and I was like, definitely not till June. And then Trish was like, do you want me to set it up for June? I'm like, no, I'm not promising June. I'm just promising not May.
Yeah.
Because at this point, even June, oh God. People were speculating today online about when our work might have us back.
Yeah.
I hated all the numbers.
Really? Like, what were they saying?
Well, the most realistic and like liberal answer now is July 1st, I'd say. I think June 1st is almost definitely not going to happen. But a lot of people were thinking around mid-August. A lot of people basically just think when the next school year starts. And that horrifies me to still be here this long.
So you want to get back to...
I don't want to get back if it's dangerous. If they told me I could come back tomorrow, I'd be like, let's wait. But I hate the idea that... I'm not saying I think it's a bad decision. I'm just saying it makes me unhappy and I want to cry.
Well, I mean... Sorry.
Well, I was going to say, so my brother asked me this and I was kind of like, I don't know. So I think the question is becoming, if the state allows certain things, but we're not comfortable with them, then what is our criteria? Like, what is our personal reopening criteria?
Yeah.
Well, another thing is, there's not, like, my wife's working from home and it's perfectly fine. You know, it's like there's no downside to it for her or for her place of work, I don't think. So there's not really a rush, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And for us, I think it's just a comfort thing. And I really don't like the idea of spending the whole summer in my house all day with no pool. Yeah. I need my work's industrial air conditioning, you know?
Yeah.
Ezzy's here, by the way. I know she's kind of fading in and out, but this is who, whenever you guys hear her on the podcast, this is who it is. There she is.
And I know for our teams, kind of most of them are measurably more productive right now. although, how much of that is them working from home versus the fact that no one's taking paid time off because there's nowhere to go.
And they don't really have anything else to do. And
Yeah. But, I mean, if you have the ability to work remotely, like, it's definitely a different situation for those people than for people their job depends on.
Yeah, and I don't begrudge anybody following that that recommendation.
Well,
I have the luxury of not.
Yeah, there are some companies thinking about, like companies that rent their space, some of them are thinking, well, let's just stop doing that. Let's just have everybody, you know, work remotely. So there are some people doing that. It probably wouldn't be companies as large as the one you work at, the one my wife works at.
No, we own a bunch of crap. We own a lot of the land and the buildings. And
Yep, exactly.
Adjacent land.
A lot of people who rent, though, are just not even going to, they'll just keep their people working from home.
Makes sense. I've known companies do that before. It drops your overhead in a huge way.
Yeah, a lot, by a lot. So
we'll see. Spend a little bit of it on infrastructure and you're good to go.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep, that's right.
What have we all been up to this week?
Saw Westworld.
Now, you're going to need to elaborate.
Third season of Westworld.
Sorry. All right.
Have you watched? You guys watching that or?
We never got into. We never managed to pick up on season two.
Oh.
And I feel like as it's gone on, we've more and more felt like that was the right call.
Well, I agree with that probably. I didn't think season three was super. A lot of people didn't. It was really heavily criticized for not being that great.
Well, and even people who liked it seemed to say it was really bizarre.
I mean, I guess the acting was good, but the it's you know what it's like. It's like The Matrix is what it's like. You know, the first one's really good, or you know,
because it's an intriguing concept. Yeah,
don't need more, and then when they add more with the second installment, it's clearly not as good, and then you think, well, third one they might learn from the mistakes of the second one and it'll be better, but they kind of double down on all the mistakes of the second one, so it's worse. So it's just like The Matrix, where it's like, yeah, they should have stopped after the first one.
And I never even saw.
And I have talked about this before with things that, like, it's hard when you do something really kind of innovative in the first season or the first movie or whatever, and then you go to try to continue it. It's really hard because a lot of what people liked about it was that novelty, and it's never going to be new that way again, no matter what you do.
Well, right. And also sometimes, sometimes when a person, like when a group is first making some great thing, it's so new that there's a lot of input on how they put it together. And all of that editorial input sometimes makes it better. And then when it's really successful, they say, oh, you guys did such a great job with the first one. We'll just let you have carte blanche with the second one and third one. And it turns out they're crap with carte blanche, you know.
It turns into Mallrats.
Yeah, they really needed all of that input to make it, editorial input to make it better. So I think that happens sometimes too.
And if I'm being totally honest, Westworld was not shelf stable. Like, a week after I finished season one of Westworld, I didn't like it as well. Like, the first season was very cool for its moment, but then when you watch it or think about it for very long, partially because the pilot was done a year ahead of the rest of it, like, so much of it's like Lost. So much of it didn't get resolved, doesn't really tie in with the rest. Like, it doesn't age well and doesn't hold together well. And that was part of why I was sort of not inspired to do the second season. And then nobody was ever raving about the second season. Even the people who liked it, nobody was like, oh my God, it's so much better. And so I just sort of never got around to it.
Yeah.
And there's so many things. Trish and I finished season one, which is currently the only season in existence, of His Dark Materials.
We watched the first episode. I'm not sure we got into it very much. I
didn't enjoy it until episode four. And by episode four, I really enjoyed it.
Now, you read the books, though.
I did, which was a complication. Although it's funny, now that it's over, I went back to look at like what was different, and I had not remembered well. Like, they're pretty true accurate to the book. And the few things that really are different are things that happen. They just happen in a later book.
Mm.
So I thought they had changed a lot of things, and I had just not remembered them right. Trish, what's your take? I'm especially curious because Trish didn't read the book. She also saw the terrible movie. The terrible movie deviated a lot from the book, but
Yeah, but based on watching the show, I don't remember so much about the terrible movie because there were parts of it that were definitely new to me. The bears were awesome. I love the bears. I told Tony last night, I was like, the CGI, like, we've gotten to the point where CGI is cheap enough that a lot of times rather than trying to get an animal trained to do certain behaviors, they're like, oh, we'll just CGI it. And it always looks weird. And I'm like, why? Like, what? You know, like somebody has their hand, there's a butterfly and it flies away. I'm like,
you can buy butterflies cheap.
Right? And it's just clear that it's fake. But the bears were really good.
They were good.
Yeah, no, I liked it. It didn't, there were times when I remembered that it was young adult fiction, but on the whole, it wasn't like smack you upside the head with annoying kids, like the whole kids versus adults and things like that that tend to crop up.
Although they did explicitly say that very thing at one point.
At the very end, yeah, I noticed that.
Like, adults have been telling us what to do, and all the adults appear to have been wrong. But no, I had one of my friends and the editor of the book, who used to edit professionally a whole bunch, talks about young adult. Young adult fiction is fiction where the protagonist or protagonists are minors. That's really it.
Yeah,
they don't necessarily have to be like Harry Potter, where like no one swears and no one really has sex or anything like that. That doesn't have to be part of YA.
No, but a lot of times you do have the theme of parents just don't understand. Like,
yeah.
You know, the kids know things that the adults don't know, that they don't get, that aren't important to them. And that is a lot of people's experience in childhood. I experienced that in childhood. Like, I don't begrudge kids that, but as someone who's approaching 50, it's just not interesting to me thematically anymore.
Well, and I mentioned this to you at the time in those first three episodes, which I didn't enjoy for a variety of reasons, but also everybody keeps saying like, Lyra, you're so smart. You're so important. You're so, and I was like, she's done nothing to demonstrate that. She's fallen ass backwards into some adventures, and she's been obstinate in times where coincidentally that was useful, but that's it. Now, as it goes on, she proves to be fairly clever and stuff like that, but those initial episodes we were already saying she was, and I'm like, she's done nothing.
And the adults are just all awful.
Oh, they really, terrible. As somebody who read the books and watch the movie, like, they have really managed to make people bad. Like, I hated a lot of characters I didn't hate before. And they didn't stray from what those characters did. I think they were just a little more upfront about it. Like, there was a lot of things that I think of as subtext from the books that are not, that are text in this show. Mm-hmm.
And I also didn't like it. So we have a character who's clearly mentally ill and or is aware of things that other people are not aware of. You know, the whole like Cirrus as visionary and also lunatic kind of thing. And at a certain point, it just gets exhausting because people keep coming to try and get information from her and they're essentially lying to her, trying to make it seem normal. And I'm like, she knows it's not normal. Like,
yeah.
Quit lying here. Just tell her the truth. It'll go so much better.
Yeah. Yeah. The books in general walk a fine, difficult narrative line involving a few things. I suppose this might be a spoiler, but I'm pretty sure it's addressed very early in the first episode. There's a Chosen One arc. And there's a prophecy and shit like that. But part of the deal is that if the Chosen One knows about the prophecy, they will fail in the prophecy. And I'm like, that's a convenient backflip to avoid making things clear. We can't tell you because literally destiny will fuck you over if we tell you. And then, as I mentioned before, we have a truth-telling machine that we just use every once in a while. And it's not like low on fuel or anything.
Like, there's times when we speculate about things. Like, why is that person doing that thing that we don't understand at all?
Ask the thing that infallibly tells you the truth. very clearly. I don't know. And at one point later, they're like, I think it only tells me what it wants me to. I'm like, no, it only tells you when you bother to ask it. It has answered you clearly and fully every time you have asked. You just frequently don't think to ask anything. So that, but, and that's, that, that's Philip Pullman's fault. Like, that's not the show's fault. And it's a trope that you can get past. That's fine. I know they've got at least the second season, and I'm going to be happy to see it. And I do want to reiterate this. Lin-Manuel Miranda did a part of a cowboy who was originally cast as Sam Elliott in the movie, and who did a great job in the movie. I mean, it was a terrible movie, but he did a great job and nails it. And it's not the same. He's not doing an impression of how Sam Elliott did. He's definitely doing his own thing. He pulled it the fuck off. He was really good. Hmm. Everybody was pretty good. I mean, there's nobody I would complain about. But as much as I like him, I was nervous. I'm like, this doesn't feel like his deal. But no, he's great.
Why did we even bother to get McAvoy?
Well, hell, we got Daniel Craig for the Golden Compass movie.
Yeah.
But you're right. McAvoy is more of an actor than that part needs. It's not in the. It's not in it very much. They did well too. You were talking about the bears. They did well with the demons too.
Yeah, most of them. Our main character, hers had like anime big eyes, and just annoying.
But it's one of those that when I think back and realize that they never used a real animal for any of them, I'm like, oh yeah, that was pretty good then.
Yeah, and we have birds. I mean, there's all kinds of different behaviors, flying and whatever. Actually, the animals looked more natural than the witch.
Yeah, the makeup on the witch was weird, and the effects weird.
How they flew was weird too, and yeah.
It very much struck me as that Toy Story thing of just falling with style,
right?
Or like the Hitchhiker's Guide thing, falling and missing the ground. It very much like every time she had to look like she stumbled, and then suddenly she was flying. It was kind of Greatest American Hero style. Did we watch anything else? I'm still playing a shit ton of No Man's Sky.
I don't know. What did we do for the date night before last week? I mean, you probably already talked about it, but.
You made me watch Jesus Christ Superstar, I think.
Was that last week? Seems longer ago.
Time has no meaning anymore.
I regretted making him watch Jesus Christ Superstar.
I'm glad you did.
I had the. For a long time. Still do a little bit.
I talked to my mom about it, and she's like, it is a shame that it's not a great play because she loves the soundtrack so much. And I was just like, okay. And I know you love it too. It does not resonate well with me.
Yeah, I'm second guessing myself. I maybe should have made you watch the 1970 something version.
I love 70s things.
It is awesomely 70s.
I watched a couple of crappy movies, but like nothing worth really talking about, I don't think. I did watch, last night I watched a movie from the 80s. It's one of those movies that's Italian, but they're pretending it's in the US. And it's a standard horror movie bullshit. It's some boarding school, and there's a kid who's not well liked, and all the other kids play a prank on her, and it goes wrong, and she's hit by a car. And the whole movie is she's in a coma, and like her spirit is causing people to get murdered or whatever. It's a kind of standard horror movie plot. But in the beginning, she is in the hospital, and she looks like she's going to die, and then her heart stops, like the machine stops going. And we call in the doctor. And he doesn't ask anything or ask what was going on. Takes a defibrillator. Doesn't lube it up. Puts it on. Doesn't say clear. Puts it on her. And just leaves it there. And her body's just like this. Nothing happens on the machine. Like it still continues to not beat at all. Which I'm like, that's physically, like, that's the whole thing. It will make it be, like, no. He just leaves it there for a really long shot. And during the long shot, we can see somebody else come over and give her a shot in the arm of something while she's vibrating from being constantly electrocuted. The next time we see her, she's in a coma.
Oh.
Wonder why?
No, I really wonder why, because she was dead. And she was clearly, like, super dead. Like, but why?
He recharged her batteries.
Yeah.
That's what that little thing on the side was that was going up and turning more green. I was just like, honestly, it would have been better if you just left out that first scene. Like, the whole thing would be less, I would have less questions and be less angry if you just, like, started with, oh, no, she's in coma.
That's medicine.
It was a hell of a movie. It was actually more entertaining than some I've seen lately, but it was called, I don't know how to pronounce it. It's the word Enigma, but then with an A in front. So, Enigma, which, by the way, doesn't come up in the movie at all. So don't know why it's called that. But if you like old, you know, Euro trash horror, I would recommend it. It's pretty entertaining. I'm almost done with the fourth Discworld book. What are you and Steph watching, Trish?
We're watching Imposters now.
Oh, yeah.
So we finished Good Omens, which was kind of fun to watch during the pandemic because we were like, it's the apocalypse. But it was actually entertaining. And now we're watching Imposters, which is a show on Netflix. It's a con. It's a long con show. And it's pretty entertaining, I think. I've seen the first season before. There's a second season now, and I never went back and watched it. So we'll probably do both before we finish. But it's pretty funny. I like it.
It's pretty funny?
Yeah.
I thought it was like a thriller.
No, it starts out because this guy comes home and his wife's gone and she left him a video and he finds out that she isn't who she said she was and she's left him and she took all his money and blah, blah, blah. And then shortly after that, when he's still like in a funk grieving her, this other guy shows up and says that he's with the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And the first guy's like, wait, did you say Bureau? And we find out pretty quickly that the second guy also was married to this woman and she took all his money and ran off. So they're like an odd couple. Like they're really not well suited. And they go on this quest to find her. And along the way, they kind of like pick up other people and everything.
Like, would I like this? This sounds more like my thing now. When you described it the first time, I did not think it was.
No, because it does turn, I mean, it does turn kind of dark. There is still the whole aspect of, you know, they're criminals and occasionally things go wrong and really bad and kind of disgusting things happen. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't like bad and disgusting so much. Well, it depends.
I know.
I know. I just felt bad because I had just talked about the shitty horror movie I had watched. And I'm like, this feels unfair. All right. Should we draw something out of the hat?
Sure.
I could have left it with Trish since we're in the same house. But all right. Here we go.
I can't be trusted with the magic.
TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. Folks, write in. We need your help for this. The whole premise of the show goes away if you don't do this. And we're barely hanging on.
We're all in this together.
Yes. This is something you can do during the pandemic from your home. Every little bit helps.
It's kind of creepy that the card...
Right? Oh, we got to play my game again, and it's still going really well, and I like that. I'm in love with this new campaign. All right.
Good.
This is from Craig. Have you ever tried vaping? Would you?
No and no.
Yeah, I mean, this is an incredibly boring question for both of you.
Nope, never tried it, never would. Although, I do see a lot of articles about vaping. I see articles that are like talking about how bad and scary it is. And then I see articles talking about how the bad and scary articles are overblown and stuff. Well, so I don't really even know what the facts of vaping really are.
Let me school you a little bit here.
You gonna learn me?
Let me drop some vape science on you.
Tell us, Uncle Tony, how is it?
Vaping is short for vaporizing.
Well, I know what it is.
No, but that's the thing. Not everybody does because it's a very broad category.
Oh, okay.
I don't think in the general vernacular, I don't think I have vaped. I have used a vaporizer. Back in my heavy marijuana days, I switched to what is called a dry vaporizer. And so it wasn't an e-cigarette or anything like that. And it wasn't anything that had fluid in it. It was basically just an electrical device that would heat up pot enough that vapor came off of it, but there was no combustion.
Right, but I don't think that's what most people...
No.
That's not even what I was thinking about when I was answering the question.
And in that situation, though, it's way nicer because there's no combustion, so the tar is not happening, a lot of nasty stuff is not happening, and that's very good. Most people are talking about wet vaporizers, which, again, we can be talking tobacco, we can be talking marijuana, and that generally has... It's still the same concept of it's heating something up to make a vapor, but it uses some sort of fluid to do it and a battery in it. So it heats up the fluid and it makes vapor and you suck it in. And again, now you don't have a lot of terrible things that are associated with breathing smoke into you. The problem being, when it first happened, nobody really understood what was in these fluids. And as time goes on, they're looking into them more, and there's some pretty fucked up shit in these, including formaldehyde and things like that. Now, there's still fucked up shit in cigarettes, and there's still fucked up shit just in burning something and inhaling those fumes.
Right.
So it's a little bit of different. And, of course, there's the big component that then there's, like, flavorings added, and they're supposed to appeal to kids and stuff like that. Also, when I was in Oregon and I was using stuff, I was vaping then it was just cannabis extract was the fluid and the stuff. And so it was a battery and it was that. And so I don't know how bad that necessarily is. Mostly I was like, it's going to be 2 weeks. I don't fucking care, basically. but yes, I have done it. It's... I don't know, you guys can speak to this. It's kind of become a douchey thing, which sucks because I thought it was cool. When they first came up with e-cigarettes, I was like, I'll buy one of those cartridges that has no nicotine, and I can just do that because I just like the act of doing it. Yeah. But yeah, nowadays it's really attached to, like, yeah, I think douche is the best word there. This sort of ridiculous. Because
it's like, you can't smoke here. And then they're like, no, I'm not smoking.
Yeah.
Whatever.
And it's this sort of attitude that somehow it is much better. And so I'm cool like a smoker, but smart like somebody who wouldn't put that shit in their body. Whereas in your reality, you're just putting other shit in your body.
Yeah. Except William.
William's not putting any shit in his body. And that's why he can't even remember what episode number it is.
So, I mean, yeah, just imagine what I'd be like if I used any kind of drugs. I mean, I'm bad enough the way it is.
I assume you'd be normal.
No, I'd just be the worst version of what I already am. But the debate about vaping from the people who are kind of, they're not pro-vaping, they're anti alarmist about vaping. Some of that about vaping is, and they think that's a bad thing because they do think some people could benefit from using vaping to stop smoking, and that, you know, so they're not getting, a lot of people hear all this hype about how bad vaping is, and so they just start smoking cigarettes again.
Yeah.
And the argument is that that's actually worse. Although I don't know how you could know that, because if there's something in the vaping material that's bad, then it's...
It's sort of different. I think it's very hard-pressed to say better or worse per se.
I don't know.
You might have to repeat that again, because you froze up on me and I'm the one recording. What did Trish say?
Oh, I said, Do we have any evidence that secondhand vaping is bad? Because then the argument becomes a libertarian one. If I'm just hurting myself, when I'm smoking, I'm, you know, societal, blah, 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 blah. But if I'm just hurting myself.
I don't know. In general, stuff on vaping is still limited because they did it and nobody did any research. And then people sort of started doing research. But most of the people who were doing research were the people who were selling the products. So it's kind of like tobacco research. Like, it took a long time to really know what was going on, and vaping is still catching up. I have not heard anything about secondhand. And again, I don't, you know, if people are adults and want to do what they want, as long as they're not hurting me, or other people in general, I'm fine with that. So, but it doesn't mean you shouldn't be aware of what's going on. And I think that's the real answer. If you want to do any of that stuff, look up what it is. Don't just be like, oh no, it's just water vapor now and I'm cool. Like, find out. And again, it's going to vary. Juul pods versus cannabis extract versus, there's tobacco versions that you can do yourself. And.
But do you think that's realistic? I mean,
well,
so not to be all COVID has changed everything, but I feel like I'm usually pretty good at reading and synthesizing across sources and figuring out like kind of what the truth of the thing is. And like, this is beyond me.
Even. Well, I have two answers to that. One, keep in mind, I'm not saying this to the general public. I'm saying this to our listeners, who I think of as a step above.
To the hacker.
Yes. The general populace are screwed.
Which are,
you're freezing up bad. I'm not getting most of what you're saying. But the other thing is, I think you could. I think if you were going to do it, and this is the thing, I'm not saying do your research to find out if it's good or bad. Do your research to find out what is happening physically. Like, what is in the product you want to buy? I mean, hell, I think you should do it with cigarettes too, except we kind of know at this point what's going on there. Look into whatever specific one you want. Look for ingredients. Figure out what the mechanism is. Don't let, if you're going to use a vaporizer, don't use it as a black box. Like, find out what it does. And in general, you know what the best thing is? Don't do any of it. Like, there's not a downside to your health to not smoking or vaping.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to cannabis and stuff, I don't know a lot about the extract, so you have to look into that. When it comes to just basic stuff, using a dry vaporizer is going to be the best way, because you know it's literally just the vapor, but you're not combusting. So, like, that one's easy. When I was doing that, I knew what was in it insofar as I knew what was in the stuff I was sold, which admittedly was sold to me by a dude named Q. In a very poor part of this town, who I just met that day. So there's probably a lot of questions to that also.
Was he like part of the Q Collective, or
no.
Q Ball?
Not even. It was short for barbecue.
Okay. I either didn't know that or I'd forgotten.
I don't know that I ever told you. And I mean, there were a few different ones. But yeah, I remember Q. Q was pretty cool. Um, I don't know what the name of the guy was at the dispensary in Oregon, but he seemed legit. Yeah, I don't think there's much more to add to that. Do you have anything to add to that? William, what's your vaping life?
You know, when e-cigarettes first came out, my wife and I sort of looked into them because the thing about nicotine is, if you ever sort of look inside from it, it's addictive. Well, and you really need to take that into account. There's a lot of therapeutic things about that drug in terms of, you know, maybe calming you down or making you more alert. Or, I mean, there's just, in fact, my wife's father, because of the therapeutic aspects of nicotine, he chews nicotine gum all the time. He's totally addicted to it.
Yeah.
But he thinks that's okay because it's like he feels like he's addicted to this thing that helps him cope and makes him feel better, and he's not creating any and he's not chewing it like chewing tobacco, so he's not taking it in a way that's going to cause any cancer or anything.
Yeah.
So we actually looked into it, thinking, well, you know, your dad's talked about that being therapeutic, and maybe it would be therapeutic for you. And my wife, you know, she has smoked in the past, and but quit for obvious reasons. And so we actually looked into e-cigarettes and the like to see, but we ended up not going any further than superficial research because we couldn't really find any good information on what was in the stuff. I mean, they'd say there was nicotine, or they'd and that all sounded good, an ingredient list like at all at that time. This was a few years ago.
Yeah.
You couldn't get anything at all. I don't know if it wasn't regulated very well yet or something like that.
I think so.
And, you know, my wife, she's not going to take anything like that without knowing what's in it.
Yeah.
And also, even if she finds out what's in it, if she's not sure what the impacts are going to be, she's not going to be an early adopter. You know, she's going to wait to see, you know, what's going to happen.
And I think that's smart. And especially as it gets technological, which is the same thing with tobacco. When you're just buying tobacco or harvesting a tobacco plant and drying it and smoking it, you know what it is. Yeah. And there has been decades of research and you can know what the impact is. When it starts to get technological, which includes when they started commercially producing cigarettes and started putting other additives in there, things to keep your cigarette lit, things for their weird satanic rituals. I don't even know. I think there was goat's blood in there. There's a bunch of stuff in there that I'm like, I don't even know why you added that. Then it gets more complicated.
That's not on the label. Just, we sprayed our tobacco field with this chemical for this reason.
Yeah.
And like clove cigarettes, which I used to smoke some. Quite a long time after I started smoking them, I found out they were called lung bleeders.
Because
the little, if you've ever seen somebody smoke one and it makes little crackling noises, that's bits of fiberglass.
What?
Again, don't know why it's in there. Clove cigarettes are bad.
Oh, wow. I didn't. Fiberglass, yeah. That sounds terrible.
Clove cigarettes are very bad, but tasty.
How can they get by with that?
I don't know. They're tobacco companies. They can get by with
anything. Clove companies.
So,
tangentially, Netflix has a documentary, well, an anecdotal thing out. Where different people talk about their experience with psychedelics. I'm being curious about
it's got
a fairly diverse group of people. There we go. Have a Good Trip is what it's called.
Yeah, and you said Nick Offerman's in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Vice has tried stuff like that a couple of times too. I am curious to a degree. My interest in that stuff personally has waned over the years, so my interest in those has also waned, but no, I'll watch that with you if you want. I'd be curious. Because, again, from a cultural, from an anthropological perspective, it's still interesting to see what experiences people have and how they interpret them. Very frequently, people, fairly rational, non-spiritual people, still claim to have spiritual experiences from certain hallucinogens. And I don't believe that's what's happening, but I do find it interesting that they feel that way and what impact that has on them.
And I'm
check that out.
Particularly interested in it always because it there's some evidence that it has like long-term mood altering effects.
And I mean anything to get Trish off the crack.
Right.
It's cheap, but it is not good. Like
you should see my teeth.
She said showing her teeth.
I'm interested in the anthropological stuff too, but I'm also interested in some the use of some of these as a treatment for certain very severe mental illnesses.
I'm kind of curious about that.
I've talked to one person who I know that struggled with issues of like narcissism and sociopathology, and you know they've really struggled to like feel empathy, you know, that kind of thing. And they said that at some point in their life, when they finally were exposed to psilocybin. Yeah. When they finally tried that, they felt like they started to get a sense of what everyone else experiences in terms of connection to other people and things like that. So it's like, well, that sounds like a good therapy for someone like that who usually just ends up in jail, you know? So,
And supposedly psilocybin, they've done some studies and it's arguably one of the safest drugs out there. It has essentially no addictive properties, no toxic properties. I mean, obviously depending on how you consume it.
Yeah. It's all about the dose.
Yeah.
But
and the method, you know,
all of these drugs have been so poorly studied because of taboos and legal issues. And it's too because they've known about these drugs for so long. And there are people who really suffer with, you know, schizophrenia or certain other antisocial disorders that might have been able to benefit from these things that we still don't know.
Meanwhile, do you remember the old Cracked video where Robert Evans looked up four ways that like prehistoric people used to get high, and he and several other coworkers tried them and they all sucked. Like even the ones that were effective, they were like, this is awful.
Well,
they were all bad.
I wish you just take what you can get back.
Yeah. Well, some more weird ones like smoking shit through your nostrils and things. It was a mess, but we're out of time here, so we should get going. Trish has her plans. Your phone needs to charge, I'm sure. Thank you very much, our special guest, Trish! Hi! I felt like that wasn't a half bad Kermit. I mean, not visually, but
that was pretty good. It's really good.
I was pretty pleased.
That was very good, Kermit. I appreciate that a lot.
And next week she probably won't be here, although I don't know. If you go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and everybody's just talking about how awesome it is to have her here, she might be swayed. She is a sucker for attention. So.
You know what?
Also, if you go to the blog and really push for it, maybe William won't be here next week. You know, we could.
Hey.
Things could happen, is what I'm saying. Technologically, it would be much simpler. Also, Trish would remember what episode it is.
Probably. Also, Trish would call you on your bullshit, so you probably shouldn't push for that.
Never mind. Don't. Don't worry about it. We'll handle it. We're the experts. Go to the blog, but don't worry about this part. Tell us your hallucinogenic experiences and also what vaping means to you. And otherwise, we'll talk to y'all next week. Bye, everybody.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.